Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
There's a new film airing on PBS stations tonight on Nova that says some of the endangered animals living in our national parks are suffering from a lack of space. Now, the U.S. has devoted large tracts of land to animal preservation in national parks like Yosemite and Yellowstone. At almost 3,500 square miles, Yellowstone stretches over three states. It's larger than Rhode Island and Delaware put together. But as we see in the Nova film Wild Ways, that is still not big enough. Joining us now is filmmaker James Brundage. Welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you very much, Jeremy.
And when we think of wild animals, grizzly bears and other wild animals in our national parks, we think of animals with a lot of room to roam. But as you point out, there are major problems with the habitats that these animals are living in.
Yes, most of our national parks are now surrounded by human development, which means highways and farms and ranches and towns. And they've become islands of nature in a sea of human development.
When you say islands of nature, it really is like an island. You've got certain populations of, let's say, grizzly bears that live in one place, and then it may be many hundreds of miles until they get to the next population of grizzly bears.
That's correct. And the scientists who've studied these have created a field called island biogeography, and they have discovered that island populations don't do very well over the long term.
We mentioned grizzly bears there. What are the other animals that this applies to?
This applies to every animal species, actually. When you get a fragmented habitat or an island habitat that becomes too small, the first thing that goes are the large mammals. But every other species can suffer in this cascade of environmental catastrophe. In fact, there was one study done in South America where they flooded a jungle habitat. And all these hillsides became islands. And they watched as every species on these islands disappeared, except for the ants.
So what can be done about this? I know one of the dream scenarios is to basically connect Yellowstone National Park with the Yukon in northern Canada.
That is a big vision of connectivity conservation, as it's known. And the idea is to connect these great national parks along the spine of the Rocky Mountains, so we can have the wildlife values into the distant future that we have today.
Because if that happens, they would be able to do what they can't do now?
First thing they need to be able to do is interbreed with neighboring populations. If they become genetically isolated, inbreeding happens, and they're susceptible to disease and epidemic, and these animal species will eventually disappear. The other thing that they need to be able to do is recolonize areas where they were wiped out from disease or flood or environmental catastrophe. If a species is wiped out in a certain area and there's no neighboring population to resettle that area, they're gone forever.
So what do you do about private land that exists in large parts of the West in this country that may be in the space between the national park and another national park that you're trying to connect?
That very much relies on people's willingness to live alongside animals. And there's many strategies to that. If there's big ranches, it's about managing your wildlife and your fencing. It's mostly about not shooting animals as they pass by. Mm. The guns are really one of the deadliest things. And learning to manage your garbage. You need bear-proof garbage cans if you're going to live near a natural area, so you don't have these human and animal conflict opportunities.
Another problem is the roads that cut through these areas. And I see in your film, one of the things that you show is, I believe it was a bear going through an underpass. And in some parks, they've put in these underpasses. Is it that simple to allow the animals to roam more freely?
Absolutely. They have shown that animals will probe a barrier until they find a way through. If they want to get somewhere and you provide an opportunity like a underpass or a wildlife crossing, they'll use it.
And is there a big movement to do that, to put in these underpasses?
It's really the cutting edge of conservation biology to reconnect these natural areas. We're counting on our parks and preserves to be Noah's Ark in this flood of humanity, and we have really coming to understand that these natural areas, if they remain as isolated islands of habitat, will not survive over time.
Another animal that comes up in your film is the wolf, and they've been reintroducing wolves in Yellowstone National Park. And as you point out, just the reintroduction of the wolf makes a huge change in the ecosystem there.
That's correct. In 80 years without wolves, the elk had become super abundant, and they had basically destroyed the river bottom ecosystems because they could just stand around and eat anything. When the wolves came back in, the elk couldn't just stand there and eat. They had to move around. It's called the landscape of fear. And also the elk numbers were decreased significantly by the reintroduction of wolves. It's a very complicated ecosystem. For example, they also have more pronghorn antelope in the park now because the wolves also controlled the coyote population who were preying on the baby antelope.
Well, we've been talking about the U.S. and Canada. You also touch on what's going on in Africa in this film and similar efforts there.
Yes, connectivity conservation is really the cutting edge of conservation biology. But in Africa, it's a very different story. In America, the parks are pretty well funded and therefore well protected. In Africa, they don't have tax dollars supporting their national parks. They survive only on the gate receipts. And that's not really enough to defend the parks against the epidemic of poaching. Connectivity isn't worth anything if there are no safe core areas to connect.
That's filmmaker James Brundage, whose new Nova documentary, Wild Ways, airs tonight on PBS stations. James Brundage, thank you.
Thanks for your interest, Jeremy.